We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
I wanted to always keep a timeout for our offense. You guys know I kind of had that mentality about it, and I did. And I wasn't sure Juju was going to be able to get out of bounds, you know, in a subsequent possession. Just wanted to keep a timeout. Thought we had a chance to stop them. Wanted to utilize a timeout for the possession downs, third down, fourth down. We used one before the fourth down, you know, to no avail.
Big announcement from our fan store, 25% off sale for a limited time. You can finish your holiday shopping and save some dough. It's a win-win. 93.7thefan.com/store right now to grab your exclusive merchandise before the sale ends. Mike Tomlin on why he didn't call a timeout in the fourth quarter. Oakland goes on top 24-21. That first down run by Jalen Richard took 30 seconds off the clock.
And he had
two timeouts. He said, I want to save a timeout. You had two, Mike. You didn't have just one. So you call the timeout there. You save yourself a bunch of time. And then you figure out what you want to do with that last timeout. Do you want to try to burn it and keep as much time on the clock and have to use the sidelines and stuff? Or
he used a timeout. Timeout number two, as you heard in that quote, after an incomplete pass by Derek Carr.
Yeah, he said we wanted a timeout for an important, critical, situational down to talk things over.
Oh, yeah. Great idea. You know what I would rather have? The extra timeout in my back pocket, two of them, and extra time. I'd actually rather have this. I'd rather have one timeout in about 40 seconds or so more on the clock and take my chances with my defense that's probably not going to, you know, fix anything or do anything well anyway. And then have an extra bit of time for my offense to go out and execute.
That's such a BS answer from him. You know what I think he really, in the moment, was doing or thinking? Just like Belichick in the Super Bowl against Seattle, where he didn't call timeouts to get the ball back to Tom Brady, then he had a sense or had a feeling that the Seahawks were going to screw it up, and lo and behold, they did with the decision to throw it instead of give the ball to Marshawn Lynch at the one. I honestly, as I was watching that, was thinking, Tomlin thinks Oakland is going to screw this game up, that they're going to raider up this game, that they're going to commit some kind of penalty or flub
panic
or turnover or something stupid that is going to lose them the game.
Who does he think they are? His offense?
Right.
I'm dead serious here. His offense has shown a lot more propensity to do that lately than the other teams that they've
played. They're just going to do something at the goal line stupid to lose the game, and don't give them extra time. Don't give them a chance to kind of calm themselves down with a timeout. Force them to make plays in the moment. I think that's what he was doing. Problem is, he doesn't have a Malcolm Butler. Right? He doesn't have the Patriots defense. He's got Cody Sensabaugh and Sean Davis and Morgan Burnett and outside linebackers outside of Watt who can't make a play. You never know who their inside linebackers are going to be now. Bostic barely plays. Williams stinks. So I think that's what he was doing. The idea that he was trying to conserve the timeouts for offense, I just don't buy. And then he loses a game and has a timeout left in his back pocket at the end of the day? Terrible.
I'm sure somebody is going to say something like, well, they couldn't have run the hook and lateral without the situation being so dire, and that got them into position. I don't care. Forget about that. I'd rather him manage the situation better. Here's the one thing I'll say about Gruden and Derek Carr combined. Once they didn't, like, panic, that's not a guy and a quarterback on a do-or-die down I really want to go up against, because I think they're going to out-scheme you. And I have like the Game Pass stuff where I can see the coaches' film, and I don't watch it very often for that All-22 view. I am real curious to actually look and see what happened on the All-22 on their winning touchdown, because they send two guys to the bottom of the pattern, and it was embarrassing how open they got. And Hilton and Edmonds are just flailing them.
I think they both thought the ball was going to Jordy Nelson, and they forgot that Carrier.
I mean, that's embarrassing, man.
To the outside.
That's just embarrassing. And you know what? The overall thing here is, just like with the decision to not play Ben for X amount of time because you thought you'd get away with it, the arrogance with Mike Tomlin.
That they'll screw it up?
Well, no, that a little bit. But I'm talking about I go back to his answer about how he doesn't think he needs a guy to do this job. This timeout stuff, the conservation, the arrogance there is just off the charts.
Right.
You are not good enough at this. In fact, you're very bad at it. So stop acting like there's nothing to be concerned about.
He also didn't challenge a play where the ball clearly hit the turf, did nothing about
it. Well, he probably didn't get a good view from the road Jumbotron guy. Although I would imagine the Jumbotron's like a tube TV at the Alameda Coliseum.
It's not Jerry's World.
Seriously.
There are two, like, screens in each end zone. And instead of showing replay, they show, like, highlights from Raiders games from the 1970s.
I'm surprised they don't use, like, stick figures to animate the highlights. It's one of those, like, a flip book for each play hastily drawn. You had a record, by the way, a Tomlin road.
Yes.
I think I know what this is.
Mike Tomlin is 6-5 when favored on the road by more than a touchdown.
Straight up, you mean?
Yeah.
6-5. What is the rest of the NFL's record in those situations in Tomlin's career? I'll save you the trouble. I've got it for you.
Go ahead.
52-10, straight up.
6-5.
52-10.
That goes back to taking teams lightly, not having his team up for a game. They come out and they start flat. They give up a touchdown on the opening drive. They leave Jared Cook one-on-one pre-snap with a backup inside linebacker. Cook's their best weapon. You knew the ball was going there. And that's what set up that put that whole opening touchdown drive for Oakland. That set the whole thing in motion. Tomlin believing that the Raiders are going to screw it up at the end. The Raiders have done stuff like that. Derek Carr cried in the middle of a game this year. On a fourth down, he threw the ball into the turf against the Chargers. Like, they have had their moments in Oakland where Carr has looked like he has regressed severely this year in this offense.
But he was feeling it at that point. He had just dropped a diamond.
Exactly.
On a post route, like a degree of difficulty, even against the Steelers secondary, that was about a 10 out of 10, and he threw like an 11 out of 10 ball there. You know what else I got to get to here with Tomlin? I don't think he cares about the slings and arrows from the media, nationally or otherwise. He is awfully lucky that Bill Belichick picked this week to make maybe the worst coaching decision of his Patriots career and very literally cost them a game by keeping his best player off the field. Because but for that insane ending, Mike Tomlin would be getting deservedly almost all of the negative attention.
You're right.
He is very lucky.
Yeah, you also had Sean McVay in primetime give the ball to Todd Gurley like 6 times.
Well, that helped one of my fantasy teams, so it's all good.
It was not a banner weekend for the quote-unquote best coaches in the NFL, and you're right. I think he kind of gets lumped in with them instead of having that kind of dubious spotlight all to himself.
You know what, though? Belichick's going to come back ready to coach.
Right.
I bet you his team doesn't come back and play poorly.
You know who Mike Tomlin is turning into? Mike McCarthy. He's Mike McTomlin. He's a guy that's got one Super Bowl, and he's got a great record, and that's it. A lot of hollow victories since then. A lot of empty 11-5s and 12-4s is what you get. Mike McTomlin.
I saw a station around here, news station, TV or whatever, put up the old, people want Mike Tomlin fired. Would Mike McCarthy be a good replacement, hypothetically? And all I could think of was, perfect. Get one guy who's incredibly underwhelming in a lot of ways. Let him go. Replace him with another guy who is exactly the same, did just as little with a better quarterback, but happens to be from Greenfield, so that should make it all work out. I'm real tired, man. Analytics have started to take over baseball. They've started to take over hockey. They've started to even take over basketball. And it's not always in radical ways. It's just in teams being much smarter about the devil in the details type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very tired of a very talented Steelers team having a head coach who actively seems to deflect and eschew any effort to get with the times on timeouts, quality control, and challenges. This guy hurts his team. He hurts his team late in games, almost without fail.
He's a defensive coach. He's got first-round picks like Bud Dupree and Artie Burns. One guy is a bust. The other, I don't even know if bust counts anymore. They don't trust him to play. They'd rather put a linebacker on a wide receiver than Artie Burns. That's how bad he is. That's how embarrassing he is. At least when Sean Payton's Saints teams underachieve, their offense is still prolific. They just can't figure out the defensive side of the ball. Tomlin can't even get his bread and butter right. He can't find the loaf. He can't find the butter knife. He can't do it. His defenses have been embarrassing, and it's not out of a lack of trying. They've signed free agents to big deals. They've used first-round picks on defensive players. Where is it getting them? Sean Davis, I'm the leader of the secondary? Really? Yeah. What are you good at? You look like Mike Mitchell 2.0. You look like another Mike Mitchell. A lot of talk. You go in for big plays. You don't make any.
You cost the Steelers a win last week if you're Sean Davis, the leader of the secondary. I would like to see at this point, Tom Bradley, I'm trying to think of a word stronger than useless, because whatever that is, it's Tom Bradley. It defines and describes Tom Bradley accurately as a position coach of the NFL. Keith Butler not far behind. Joey Porter could make the best case based on the stats some of his guys are putting up that he deserves to stay, but he's not good at what his job is. I would kind of like to see Mike Tomlin's feet held to the fire where he has to fire all those guys I just mentioned.
Yeah.
Surround himself on that side of the ball with more guys that teach his philosophies, and then he needs to take a more visible, public, active role with the defense.
Don't you feel like
and
this,
sink or swim
don't
with
you
them.
Feel like this is a turning point game for a lot of people with Tomlin?
It should be. It needs to be. I mean, it is for me. You've when we started this show together, I think you knew me to be a pretty staunch defender of his. My support for him is eroding more and more every week.
He can't get the basics right. He can't get the fundamental things right in terms of game management. Adjustments aren't made.
His guys just, you know what his...
And it's another fall flat against a bad team performance. And he had a big part of it, a big say in it.
He and his team in general, but also his defense, whenever I do see them make a play, you know what? They seem so self-satisfied. And for what?
Oh, that's a great point. How about Carr? Like basically... The ball was a bar of soap that just kind of slipped out of his hands. The Steelers pick it up. They run into the end zone, and they take like a group picture together like they're the 85 Bears.
They're so
like they're about to Super Bowl shuffle on the field. You're playing the Oakland Raiders. The game is nip-tuck close, and this defense is going to go out there and act like they're the friggin' Legion of
Boom
or the Steel Curtain?
They're not even the 2018 Bears or close to it. The self-satisfaction is what gets me, and I don't care if guys celebrate, but like
no, but Chris, they acted like they had done something special on that car turnover.
They think that they're a really good defense, and they're not. And Tomlin thinks that he's coaching a really good football team, and he's not. And Tomlin seems to think he is an infallible, very with it head coach, and right now, he is not.
No,
I mean, my goodness.
No, I picked him to go to the AFC Championship game last year, 2.0 against the Patriots. Can't even get there. And now this team's in danger of missing the playoffs. Have you turned on Mike Tomlin? Is this the angriest you've been, the downest you've been on?
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.